Mrs. Lou Caverly. Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly and I, Mr. and Mrs. America, are bringing you the cutting-edge independent news program, The Divided Kingdom. This program that many of you have come to know and can be heard at WWCR.com Thursdays at 8 p.m. And at that same time, you can hear it on WWCR shortwave radio on a frequency of 4.840. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. That program repeats Saturdays on WWCR at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. And we can also be heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Our newest listening venue is KSTARTalkRadio.com. You can hear us on KSTARTalkRadio.com Saturdays at 5 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. Now we have the most up-to-date developments.
Yes, Lou, leadership has played a real, forgive the pun, trump card.
That's right. From Fox News, March 18th, 2020, Adam Shaw says, President Trump on Wednesday announced that he is invoking the Defense Production Act as part of the administration's effort to tackle the coronavirus pandemic. He also described himself as being a wartime president. At the White House press conference, Mr. Trump said, "It can do a lot of good things if we need it. We'll have it all completed, signing it in just a little while." The act ensures the private sector can ramp up manufacturing and distribution of emergency medical supplies and equipment. The move gives the White House the authority to increase production of masks, ventilators, and respirators, as well as expand hospital capacity to combat the coronavirus. Asked if he saw the nation as being on a wartime footing, he said he did and described himself as, quote, "in a sense, a wartime president," unquote. He made the remarks at a press conference, along with members of the Coronavirus Pandemic Task Force. The U.S. has largely shuttered many aspects of daily life in order to stem the rapid onset of the virus, echoing efforts across the globe. As of Wednesday morning, there were 6,519 cases and 114 deaths in the United States. On Wednesday, Trump also announced that the House, that is the Housing Department, is suspending all foreclosures and evictions until the end of April. Earlier in the day, he had announced that the U.S. and Canada had agreed to temporarily close their shared border to non-essential traffic. Vice President Mike Pence, who is leading the task force, announced that Health and Human Services are suspending a regulation that prevents medical professionals from practicing medicine across state lines. He also called on the nation to postpone all elective medical procedures. President Trump has held a number of press conferences as the crisis has escalated in an effort to keep the public informed and to preview measures the administration has taken. He had previewed Wednesday's conference by saying he would, quote, "discuss very important news from the FDA concerning the Chinese virus," unquote. On Saturday, he announced that he was extending the European travel ban to include the United Kingdom and Ireland. On Tuesday, he spoke at a press conference where Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that the administration wants to send checks to Americans, quote, "in the next 2 weeks," unquote, in an effort to help people cope with the economic fallout due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, Lou, that's it, isn't it?
Yes.
That is enough. That's a big item. On Wednesday, and this was March 18th, we watched the Neil Cavuto show on Fox, and we gathered the following gleanings about the economy. It's the first time that the Las Vegas Strip has been shut down since the JFK assassination. Doesn't that shock you?
Yes, it does. That's a long time ago now.
And, of course, there were also a lot of the retailers, the big retailers like Macy's, Target, Bloomingdale's, they were cutting hours. And there were more border closings, Canada and the U.S. And now the bill that was pending in the Senate passed, didn't it?
Yes, we just got word a very short time ago before we we had making this program that it had passed the Senate.
Yes, and apparently it does include some paid sick leave plus that $1,000 check that was so controversial. And we have to get into a lot of things here that possibly are underneath the surface eventually during this program. And Trump was putting this into effect. He signed this in order to get the ventilators and so forth. And that, I believe, this was the Defense Production Act again. And there's $1.3 trillion that the U.S. government is putting in now. John Roberts, he's a correspondent with Fox, he talked about Larry Kudlow. And he said, with small businesses, we may have to cover their revenue. This was greatly echoed, by Lindsey Graham. He said that 80% of the workforce will be affected, and we must have a wage replacement. And he says that's the number one goal for him. And he says we're buying containment till we turn the corner. Trump has this $50 billion available for hospitals and so forth to be used. We all hope that this corner will be turned rather quickly, sooner than later. And I believe there have been 500 million N95 masks ordered. Also, there was an interesting meeting. Lou, you and I got to watch this televised meeting with Vice President Pence and President Trump meeting with the heads of the nurses' organization. Organizations, yeah. I should say, plural. That was pretty interesting. So FEMA now, here's the big one. FEMA is fully engaged, and it was engaged as of 2 hours ago when we were watching the television on Wednesday the 18th. The Senate passed this bill that gives the sick leave for the workers and free testing. That's also part of it. Lindsey Graham, when asked how long this containment is going to go on, he said he's looking for a kind of a key thing, and that would be when we reach a week that is less than the last. In other words, there will be fewer numbers of people. The curve will be breaking down. Another sobering factor, Lou, I thought, was that all the car companies had stopped work on Wednesday the 18th. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that's a shock. That's one of the major American industries that's still in this country. So many of them have moved overseas. That one is largely here, at least a substantial part of it is. And to think that that is going to close down is pretty shocking.
And now, what we have to talk about is that what you will not hear on the mainstream media, we always have this thread of worry because we know there is real truth of government abuse through the long years, even beginning in the Jimmy Carter administration. We know what our government has done overseas. Yes, we're a shining beacon on a hill. In those Reagan years, much was that. Much is always that. America is a beautiful, wonderful country, but the deep state elements, what we also refer to as the New World Order, they've been busy for many, many decades creating havoc and war in other countries. And now, is this coming to a time of fruition in which we really, truly will have martial law and the ends of our freedoms? I say ends because there are many different areas of freedom that are going to be disrupted. We can't even name how many areas. For instance, here was a headline in the Washington Times Monday, March 16th. Schiff protects Intel powers by wresting control of FISA reforms. Now, we have to give a little background here that there was part of the Patriot Act that, I guess, enabled all this FISA abuse, all of that, and it ran out. It sunsetted. And so now there will be a big controversy in Congress to see whether they will renew that or not. But Jeff Murdoch, in the newspaper here, the Washington Times for March 16th, had that headline, Schiff protects Intel powers by wresting control of FISA reforms. Now, here's just a little bit of it. Attempts to rein in the government's ability to spy on Americans fell flat after Representative Adam B. Schiff intervened to protect the types of powers that the FBI used to go after the Trump campaign in 2016. Mr. Schiff, California Democrat and chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, ran roughshod over House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, New York Democrat, whose panel had control over the battle to reform the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Remember, that's FISA, said advocates on both sides of the aisle. The power struggle created an awkward moment in which Mr. Nadler canceled the markup of his own bill just minutes before it was scheduled. So, you see, we have always heard that there will come a time when Americans will lose all of their freedoms, and we will have martial law. And I heard this interesting discussion on InfoWars between Mike Adams and Stuart Rhodes, head of Oath Keepers. And Mike was very genuinely concerned about this call-up of the National Guard and using the military in this coronavirus pandemic situation. And Stuart told him, you have to be careful that martial law is not using these soldiers in this peacetime way, in this virus situation. It would be if one figure absolutely takes over the country and you know, everything is going into an authoritarian regime. It would not be this. This is not martial law to be able to use these things selectively. But having had that background, we have always heard, as Christians, the mark of the beast is coming, and we have heard stories about guillotines being stockpiled. We've seen a lot of antipathy toward Christians from governmental auspices through the last 30, 40 years, and it was really coming to a head in the Obama years, a lot more possibly than now, we think, under the administration of Trump and Pence, who are Christians. But we'll have to allude to some of these things as we go on. We'll have to get underneath what could be a somewhat orchestrated plan to at least, as Rahm Emanuel says, use this crisis. Don't let it go to waste. Because we do have to look back at the numbers of Ebola. Many more people died. Not Ebola. I do mean H1N1. And I believe that was during the Obama administration. But many more were dying. And we didn't have this hoopla about, oh, we've got to lock down. Oh, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. Is some of this acclimating us, you see, to being in the control of the New World Order? Well, Lou, I think you have, where you stop is where you'll stay. Isn't this by Michael Snyder, who I believe writes at The Economic Collapse? And he has another website there. Is it The End of the American Dream?
Yes, that's the website, endoftheamericandream.com. Yes, it is by Michael Snyder, but I think an introduction probably by Mike Adams.
And we'll share this article.
Yes. And the title, once again, is Where You Stop is Where You Stay. Domestic travel restrictions are being considered. This appeared Wednesday, March 18th, 2020, at the naturalnews.com website. Is the United States on the verge of a complete and total lockdown, like we have seen already in China, Italy, and elsewhere? As you will see below, the Trump administration has repeatedly brought up the possibility of, quote, domestic travel restrictions, unquote. And that means that this is something that is very seriously being considered. The first step may be simply banning all non-essential domestic air travel, and that would be a major inconvenience for many Americans. But beyond there, there is the possibility that we could see restrictions on all travel, between states or even draconian restrictions on going out in public, at all, like we've already seen in China and Italy.
Do you remember, Lou, I have to interject, during those Bush years after 9/11, there were people who wrote books about the idea right at each state's border, let me see your paper, citizen. Remember that?
I remember that very well. Yes,
that's what we don't want to see happen. We don't want to see something happen that maybe it's okay under Trump and Pence, but is a template being put in place for all of us. Continue.
Yes. If we get to that point, where you are at that moment is where you will be staying. Mike Adams will be sharing more about this below. Now we have the article by Michael Snyder, republished again from endoftheamericandream.com. But first, let's review what the Trump administration has been telling the public about the possibility of domestic travel restrictions. The following comes from a USA Today article that was posted on Saturday. President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence on Saturday said the government is considering domestic travel restrictions amid the coronavirus pandemic, and added United Kingdom and Ireland to the Europe travel restrictions that went into effect late Friday. They did not offer specifics on domestic flight restrictions, but Trump said earlier in the week that they would be considered if, quote, an area gets a little bit out of control, unquote, in terms of coronavirus cases. I think that the phrase is considering domestic travel restrictions is pretty clear, and it should definitely send a chill up your spine. Then on Sunday, a member of the administration said that officials are weighing, quote, an outright halt to domestic air travel, unquote. The Trump administration is weighing all options. This is that article, apparently. The Trump administration is weighing all options to curb the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., including an outright halt to domestic air travel, as senior officials said Sunday. Such a drastic step hasn't been taken since the September 11th, 2001 attacks, and it would raise questions about U.S. airlines' chances for survival without government support. This came directly from Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, and he went on to add that all options remain on the table. We continue to look at all options, and all options remain on the table, said Chad Wolf, Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, in a press briefing when asked about the possibility. He said the administration is following guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So, would all options also include banning all travel in and out of states where this pandemic is the worst? Apparently so. And this is something that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is actually asking for. Florida Governor DeSantis said the White House should consider restricting domestic travel from states that are seeing a rapid increase in coronavirus infections, saying the flow of people has made containment difficult. He made the plea shortly before the state on Saturday announced its fourth death from the disease, a 77-year-old man from Lee County.
Could you imagine getting into your car and driving toward the next state only to be stopped at the border? It could soon happen. Hopefully we won't get to that point, but this outbreak continues to spiral out of control. And if the numbers just keep going up, it is inevitable that we will see things happen that would have been unthinkable only a few weeks ago. At this point, even Dr. Anthony Fauci appears to be advocating some sort of a national lockdown. Asked by CNN's Brianna Keller on State of the Union if he'd like a national lockdown where people are told they need to stay home and out of restaurants and bars, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, said he'd, quote, like to see a dramatic diminution of the personal interaction that we see in those places. A diminution. I think I had a mistake there when I read that. Anyway, that means fewer, you see, people. Whatever it takes to do that, that's what I'd like to see, Fauci added. As Americans, we don't like to have our movements restricted. And hopefully, the Trump administration will choose not to go in that direction, but they have already restricted domestic travel for members of the military. A memo released Friday evening announced a ban on government-funded domestic travel for military members, Department of Defense civilians and their families, according to Stars and Stripes. The Pentagon says Deputy Defense Secretary David Norquist has approved new travel restrictions on service members and Defense Department civilians assigned to military installations and surrounding areas within the United States and its territories. And similar restrictions have been put into place for federal workers. As the coronavirus outbreak continues across the U.S., the White House has told federal agencies and executive departments to suspend all work travel unless it is absolutely necessary. The White House Office of Management and Budget issued new guidance on Saturday telling federal workers that, quote, only mission-critical travel is recommended at this time. with all that in mind, and again, this is Michael Snyder, and give the website, Lou.
Michael Snyder?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it end of the American Dream?
I believe you are right, but let me double check that.
And also his other one is the Economic Collapse blog. And that one, if it's still active, probably should be on your radar right now with all going on. And what is it, Lou?
Yes, it is endoftheamericandream.com.
With all that in mind, I would like you to watch this video. According to John Grimm, a Republican candidate for Kootenai County Sheriff, it appears quite likely that we could potentially see some sort of travel restrictions in the near future. And if there is eventually some sort of a total lockdown, he is warning that, quote, where you stop is where you stay. And they talked then again a little bit about that video. So I hope that you are already at the place where you plan to ride out this pandemic. If not, I would get there as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, we continue to see major institutions shut down all over the country. Michael Snyder's article then mentions that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker followed suit after Governor of Ohio Mike DeWine announced the order to close all restaurants and bars. And then, of course, here in Maryland, we already have the same order from Governor Larry Hogan for the bars and restaurants to be shut down. I cannot let the gravity of the choices prevent us from taking the actions that the science and the experts say will keep people safe, Pritzker said. In areas of the country where this outbreak is already wildly out of control, the restaurants and bars might as well be closed down anyway. Restaurant traffic in New York City and Seattle is down more than 60%, and the more this virus spreads, the more people are going to be afraid to go out into the public to do anything. Just a few weeks ago, our lives seemed so normal, but now our entire country is steadily shutting down from coast to coast. And life is not going to return to normal anytime soon because the CDC just issued guidelines calling for the cancellation or the postponement of, quote, any events with 50 or more attendees for the next 8 weeks. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging people across the U.S. to cancel or postpone any events with 50 or more attendees for the next 8 weeks, the agency said in revised guidance issued Sunday. The CDC said individuals and organizations should reschedule large events and that gatherings of any size should be reconsidered unless organizers can protect vulnerable populations, ensure proper hand hygiene and social distancing. Now, as Elizabeth Cup of Cavalry, I have to interject here. My goodness, we certainly are getting a lot from the CDC. That same CDC that refused to let states test, told them not to test, and made it very hard to get the test kits. Was this the crisis allowed to happen and allowed to escalate? So now we put on our goody-two-shoes and we virtue signal that we are really in it for the people. Back to Mike Snyder's article. In other words, everything that is being shut down right now is going to remain shut down for at least 8 weeks. And he says, I cannot even begin to describe how damaging that is going to be to our economy. You know, Lou, I heard David Knight yesterday on InfoWars. He was making a claim that this sudden precipitous thing has immediately changed the economy to the point that our unemployment rate now, it's something like 26%. If we think of all these people furloughed and, you know, not working, and that was what it was at the height of the Great Depression. This is really sobering as we think about this. So now back to Michael Snyder, and what happens if this pandemic is still raging after 8 weeks have passed? The Spanish flu pandemic lasted for 3 entire years. There's no way that authorities could keep us all locked down for that long. This pandemic is rapidly becoming a national nightmare, and it appears that our freedoms are about to be restricted in ways that most of us never thought possible. America is on the verge of being locked down, and for many of us, it truly will feel like we have been put in prison. And now, I think there's another country that was a little ahead of us, isn't there, Lou?
There is, yes.
I think that is Denmark.
It is. Now, I also had some headlines.
Oh, yes. You know what? Here, yes, I think you have a little intro about that.
We have a bunch of headlines. Some of these were from papers from Pennsylvania, some from Maryland, and we'll just put them all together.
And what did it, your little intro said something about, you know, how fast all this happened, I think.
Yes. Within a period of only 3 days, we have repercussions of tightening regulations. Makes one stand up and take notice. So beginning on March 14th, these were some of the headlines. Wolf, that's in governor of Pennsylvania, shuts Pennsylvania schools. Fear of coronavirus spreads. State lawmakers, again in Pennsylvania, back to work on the pandemic. Minor league baseball players sent scrambling. And I believe that was from Frederick, Maryland. Stock surge on the Wall Street. Dow jumps 2.6%. Unfortunately, that didn't last. Also March 14, senior living facilities prohibit visitors, volunteers, vendors. On March 14th, once again, two more sports rights of spring postponed. That would be the Masters Golf Tournament and the Boston Marathon. And executive actions. Trump declares an emergency. Pelosi announces aid deal. That was again March 14th. The Olympic torch relay suspended. As most of you know, the Olympic torch starts out from Greece, where the ancient Olympics take place, and by a whole series of relays would eventually come to the site of the Summer Olympics in Japan, which, of course, is in great doubt now. Also March 14th, Biden virtual town hall marks a new normal for campaigning.
Now, I have to interrupt you there.
Yes.
Do you catch that phrase? That may be getting us acclimated, a new normal. You see, taking over, the tyranny taking over, so that almost all aspects of our life will be online, cash will be gone, and we will have a new tattoo. We'll have to tell you about this. Bill and Melinda Gates are developing a new tattoo that will show the identification of someone who doesn't have the coronavirus. The mark of the beast is not too far off, possibly.
It does seem
that
way. But
now, just go fast through these. We want to give this momentum of these headlines now.
Yes, immigration hearings delayed. One court shut. Locals think about food supplies. Loved ones in crazy effects of virus. Trump declares national emergency. General Assembly, that's in Maryland, to shut down early. Coronavirus restrictions tighten, disrupting daily life and worship. Fed takes emergency steps to slash rates. Now we move it up to March 16th. Positive virus case in Lehigh County is hospital worker. Allentown, Stafford, met with patients, had contact with colleagues. That, of course, is Pennsylvania. Trump calls on Americans to cease hoarding food and supplies.
And there, that was a little sour note to me. You know, we are supposed to take care of our families, and we are to get out there. I did not like that note that we're told to quit hoarding, because I think it was very important to plan. You know, you and I are not perfectly planned, but we did start maybe about a month ago. And, you know, I ordered in some bread from California. That was one thing I did that's vacuum-packed. It'll last a long time. And we had begun even longer than that to order the stored food, the kind of canned meats from Layman's. We've mentioned that catalog before in Ohio. So little by little, we've been trying to get things. And, you know, we aren't sure yet. We're told conflicting reports of how serious this thing is. We do believe that it was bioengineered. We'll get into that more later. So it is something that must be taken seriously, especially if you are over 60. Go ahead, Lou.
And we have, let's see, we mentioned about the positive virus case in Lehigh County in Pennsylvania. Trump calls on Americans to cease hoarding. We said that. Virus in God's hands. Faithful paying attention and praying. That was also Pennsylvania, March 16th. Cambria County Prison bars personal visitors, although attorneys and religious advisors are permitted. Government official, the coronavirus vaccine trial starts today. That was dated March 16th. So there we have some headlines summarizing all the different things that are connected to this coronavirus. Now we get to the article on Denmark.
And again, do you have an intro on that, something about it?
That one I do not.
And you know, what we just will say is that this is 1 week ago, and Denmark went under this total lockdown template. So we should all be thinking about this very soberly.
Yes. The headline says, Denmark locks down entire country in response to coronavirus pandemic. Dateline Thursday, March 12th, from naturalnews.com. In a surprise announcement, Prime Minister, and I believe it's pronounced Mette, I'm not sure about that, Frederiksen of Denmark, said the country is imposing a lockdown to contain its rapidly rising number of coronavirus cases. Frederiksen made the announcement during a press conference on Wednesday. According to Frederiksen, public sector employees who do not perform critical functions will be sent home on paid leave, while those who are employed in the private sector will be encouraged to work from home. All schools and universities in the Scandinavian nation will also be shut down, Frederiksen said during her address. In addition, Frederiksen also imposed restrictions on events, with the local media reporting that events seen to attract more than 100 participants will be banned, a major decrease compared to the original limit of 1,000. And this is the words of Ms. Frederiksen, we need to limit activity in society as much as possible without letting our society grind to a halt, unquote. According to Ms. Frederiksen, that decision to enact strict impositions and tough measures will have a significant impact on their economy. She said, quote, we will not get through this as a country without a cost. Businesses will suffer losses, and people will lose their jobs. The government will do what it can to help. She said that, noting that their current situation necessitated the enactment of such measures. She went on to say, under normal circumstances, the government would not present such far-reaching measures without having all the solutions ready for the many Danes concerned. But we are in an extraordinary situation. This will have huge consequences, but the alternative would be far worse, she said, adding that those who are healthy have a shared responsibility to protect the more vulnerable members of that population. Everyone who is healthy, we have a great responsibility toward the vulnerable, she added. Those seen to be at high risk for COVID-19, the disease caused by the new coronavirus, which originated from Wuhan in China before spreading across other parts of the world, are those who are age 60 and above, as well as those with compromised immune systems and chronic illnesses. Søren Brostrøm, director of the Danish Health Authority, said that he expects the number of cases to increase rapidly in the coming days and weeks. As of press time, 514 people, of which two are in critical condition, have been confirmed to be infected with a deadly virus as of Wednesday, a tenfold increase in the figures they posted Monday. According to Health Minister Magnus Heunicke, this is the most dramatic increase seen in Europe. Sweden, which is separated from Denmark by the Øresund Strait, has around 460 confirmed cases, with the first death reported Wednesday. The country has banned public gatherings of more than 500 people to stop the spread of the disease. Italy, which has 12,462 confirmed coronavirus infections and 827 deaths, the highest in Europe, as of press time, enforced a lockdown Tuesday. And this was Tuesday the 12th, by the way. However, following the World Health Organization's WHO announcement declaring the COVID-19 outbreak as a global pandemic, Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has announced that the nation needs to go another step further. Conte, through an announcement made on Facebook, said only pharmacies, groceries, and other establishments selling essential items will remain open to the public for the entirety of the lockdown. This will be in addition to the existing measures, such as travel restrictions, enforced social distances, and mandatory self-isolation for anyone who exhibits flu-like symptoms. As of press time, the novel coronavirus has infected 126,136 and left 4,630 dead globally.
And is that
now?
The,
let's see.
Is that it, Lou?
That's it for that article. Yes.
All right. I believe now I have to talk about some of the disinfo that is against so-called disinfo. And this, again, we have to get back into this idea about we're not getting all the truth. Have you watched Fox News or MSNBC and heard them talk about the World Military Games in Wuhan, China, October 18th of 2019, in which they had a simulated pandemic drill? I don't think you've heard that in any of these MSM venues. I don't think you have. I don't think you have heard that the UN was there and that we sent 300 soldiers there, and there were soldiers from other countries in the world taking part in this global pandemic drill, and that the UN several months later here in New York celebrated this happening. I really don't think that you've heard that. And I don't think that you have heard Dr. Francis Boyle on any of those venues. He was a scientist who was so high up and so authoritative on this whole issue of the bioweapons that he wrote the bioweapons treaty that the UN then adopted. And I believe this was under H.W. Bush's era. He has come out to say that from all his research, he believes that this was a bioweapon, and it went from North Carolina under the Obama administration, sold to China. And these BSL-4 labs are in our country, and of course there was one in Wuhan. So this whole stupid story about the market and the bats and all of that, this is a cover story. And yesterday I heard David Knight on InfoWars, and he is a top, very credible, level-headed journalist. He lived in North Carolina, and he talked about this research that was going on there at Chapel Hill and with the bats and the coronavirus and all of this. So now, it's very disappointing to think that a newspaper we thought was not like the New York Times, we thought this newspaper was giving a lot of hard-hitting truth, the Washington Times, Monday for March 16th, it said, U.S. battles lies about virus origin. China, Russia, Iran team up to spread toxic propaganda by Guy Taylor. And here are some excerpts. China, Russia, and Iran are flooding the global information space with false claims about the new coronavirus, according to U.S. officials who say one of the biggest lies, that the virus that causes COVID-19 is a U.S. bioweapon and was brought to China by U.S. Army personnel, is just the latest in a surge of propaganda aimed at undermining America's image on the world stage. Now, we have heard President Trump say that this was not the case, that our Army did not take that weapon to China, and we think that's true. We think that this bioweapon was sold under the Obama administration to China. Now, the article goes on. You see, now we get into this. It's always the scapegoat. Was it 1984, Lou? There was a guy named, what was his name? Like, not Rosenstein? There was somebody who was always the scapegoat.
Yes, that's right.
Do you remember
right.
his name? You remember there was someone like that, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes, there was.
Maybe it'll come to you.
Come up with
so, you know, Russia. Russia is always the scapegoat. So here we are. Beijing, Moscow, and Tehran. So now we've got three scapegoats. Now, we're not going to say China is a little Miss Innocent, having killed those 400 million baby girls, and we watch those barracks, and there we know about the cremation vans coming. We don't know even what the figures were for the real deaths in China. No, but this is ridiculous to say Beijing, Moscow, and Tehran are using a vast web of social media accounts, fake news outlets, and state-controlled global satellite media to promote false claims by academics and at times government officials to blame Washington for the crisis now gripping most of humanity. There we have it. Our wonderful State Department, who has never done wrong. Our wonderful government that sent Vice President Mike Pence up to be part of the memorial service there in Shanksville, there at Flight 93, the crash scene, in which all those heroic passengers stood up and did right. You know, there is a member of my actual family who talked to an eyewitness who said, I saw the two planes. The shoot down. Yes, It's not, as we've been told. These fables are there, and you'd better wake up. Some people don't want to know the truth because, as Alex Jones said, they would go insane. They can't face it. But you know what? The Bible says the prudent man prepares, doesn't it, Lou?
That's exactly right, yes.
And you know how God prepared us? We didn't know that things could be like this, but we were questioning it. We were riding back from Pennsylvania. It was at Thanksgiving time, 2001, and we had been to a little church dinner, and we got to talking to an old friend who told us the story of her relative, and he was high up in the military, a really great guy, and he had had a mysterious death. My mother wrote to us. She said, it's so strange, and his other relative died the same way. He was in the military. They found him. It was as if they had a heart attack. Well, this friend told us that he had been so high up, I guess, when people were coming from Cuba, that she was visiting because he had a handicapped son, and she saw all these military men come in, and they would unlock their briefcases, meet with him, then lock them up and leave. We think that he knew too much about the coming New World Order, and he was taken out, he and the other relative. So we were discussing this on the way back to Maryland late at night, and we happened to turn on Ground Zero, and there was Joe, and I said to Lou, do you think there can be truth to all this? And there was Jim Mars laying it all out about 9/11. We'll never forget that, will we?
No, that was so impressive.
And you see, little by little, God began to open this window to show us and then to call us toward our duty. So this article in the Washington Times for March 16th goes on to say how wonderful we have a global engagement center. And I think this, again, is coming out of our wonderful State Department. It says the Global Engagement Center is spearheading the effort with a goal of reminding audiences that authoritarian regimes clamp down on the free flow of truthful information and use government-controlled organs to spread lies. Once a false narrative is out there, it's almost impossible to undo, and repeating that false narrative when trying to correct it reinforces it, said Ms. Gabrielle, so it makes it very tricky. In the Obama era, the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications was a hub through which U.S. officials used Facebook and Twitter to disseminate anti-jihadi messaging worldwide. So we get the picture here. We get the picture. They say, once a lie is out there in the information space, there's no silver bullet. I don't have a false information zapping bazooka. I wish I did, said Ms. Gabrielle. What we do have are best practices. And in the case of the lies that are out there right now, that means engaging through our official platforms to counter them. Well, you know what we heard? We heard that there were eminent scientists in India who studied this coronavirus, and they found that there were elements of SARS and HIV in it. And I think the social media kicked them right off. We didn't get to hear that again. But again, Dr. Francis Boyle on Wednesday, March the 18th, again reiterated on InfoWars that this is a bioweapon, and this is serious, and that President Trump is doing the right thing. I think that he is pretty credible because he really knows what these weapons are. Alex Jones fears that this is preparation for when they bring the worst bioweapon on all of us. We hope and pray not, but we have to think about some of these things that are possibly long-term New World Order goals. And I think I'm looking here. I have to look for something that's important here for just a moment, because right at the time we were ready to record, we heard from someone who is a listener, and he says that back in the 1970s, John Todd said it will start as a national emergency, declared for whatever reason by the president. This was when Jimmy Carter was president. This declaration of a national emergency will then, at the appropriate time, have the president declare martial law. Once martial law is in place, it will never return to freedom. People do not desire martial law, but they want to be safe, so they will be brought to the level where they will demand martial law. I think those are very, very wise words. And he says that is what John Todd said in the 1970s. And he wonders whether we're seeing this now. Is this just about the time that we're going to see something? And he said, in my entire 77 years, I have never seen events like are happening now. I truly believe we will see things continue to get worse. World leaders dying, economies crashing, people rioting, killing, stealing. And in September and October, the setting up of Daniel's 70th week. So, of course, we're not going to get into prophecy right here, but we think that there may be some wisdom in what he's warning us about in that letter. Part of this strategy remains to be seen, but as Todd said, John Todd, everything is going to be planned, and sometimes the Illuminati lets us know. Remember, we heard about some of those movies and things that had planes crashing into the World Trade Centers before 9/11. I think the Lone Gunman was one of those. So they have this code, but we do not think Trump was using that code when he said everything is going according to plan. The listener wonders about that, but we believe that Trump is fighting with these very last fiber of being, his soul, his heart, his energy, everything that he has invested in this because he does love America. So we have to be on guard, and we have to know that things were not as they were said to be. The event at the Murrow Building, 9/11, was it an inside job? Early on, people heard bombs in those buildings in New York. So we know that President Trump and Mike Pence were part of that National Prayer Day, and we believe that they have true Christian hearts, and we know that they need your deepest prayers. And Lou, I would like to ask you to pray now for their health and their strengthening and their wisdom, because they have to deal in a way that we can't deal. We're not up at that level. President Trump can't come out like one rather juvenile in this respect commentator said in the alternative news. Usually he's a wonderful commentator. He has a lot of courage. But he says President Trump should just say, it's a bioweapon. He can't do that, but we can. Lou and I can. God called us to do it. We're to warn. President Trump has to walk a very strong balance. And we know that he is a captain of industry. And if anyone can bring us through with the right balance to keep the economy from totally crashing, it is President Trump. All right, Lou, we need this prayer, and we ask all of you out there to lend your hearts and souls to this prayer with us all. We're praying for our beloved country. We're praying that America will repent and turn away from the horrible things like the drag queen story hours harming our little children. Already, people like Lindsey Graham, that people are saying it's a new spirit. It's a spirit in America like World War II. People are letting elderly people go in the line at the grocery stores. You know, God may well use this to turn America's heart to repentance. Lou, now let's have the prayer.
Let's all pray together. Oh, Lord, we just pray for this country and its leaders. We pray that you'll have mercy upon it. We know that it has committed some very great sins, the sins of abortion and all kinds of other things. And yet, it is a good country in so many ways. We pray for it. We pray for mercy in this time of crisis, as people will look to you, and we pray that they will have a new spirit of looking to you as their Lord and their Savior. We pray for the leaders of the country, Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence. I truly believe they love the country and that they are trying their best to come up with solutions to spare the country from the worst effects of this dreaded disease, and also to repair the economy, which will be greatly damaged by the necessary steps that have wisdom for President Trump, Vice President Pence, and the other leaders of the Senate and House. We pray that you will give them great wisdom and also stamina, because this is a time it seemed that President Trump was very tired today. And, well, he might be. So we pray for also physical endurance physical strength to meet these crises. We also pray for their safety, that you will protect them from fanatics who might try to harm them at this time. We pray for the other people, the doctors, nurses throughout the country, and in particular those who are advising the president, that you will give them wisdom to know what to do at this time and how to best bring the country back to safety and good health. We just pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lou. It's so important. And when we were talking there about this idea that the news has come out that through MIT, Bill and Melinda Gates, their foundation, is working on this tattoo that would go under the skin and it would identify you as not having the coronavirus. There may be some very evil plans, because the goal may be, you see, to have these Target and Walmart parking lots before too many years, or maybe in a year, be places for mandatory vaccines. And here I have to interject with an article before Lou will get into a lot of the statistics and whether Mike Adams' figures do look right. How serious is this? How many people are dying? But this article, Human Guinea Pigs, this was Thursday, March 12th, 2020, Natural News. Human guinea pigs volunteers offered $4,500 to be infected with coronavirus to test a vaccine. Scientists in Great Britain are on the hunt for 24 human guinea pigs who will agree to be deliberately infected with the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, in exchange for about $4,500 cash. A company known as Avivo is reportedly trying to develop a vaccine for the novel virus, and in order to do that, it needs to inject willing volunteers with two strains of coronavirus known as OC43 and 229E, in order to conduct the testing necessary for eventual vaccine approval. While these two coronavirus strains are said to be significantly less serious than the Wuhan variety currently in circulation, they cause similar respiratory symptoms and are thus considered to be viable candidates for the purpose of this vaccine research. Volunteers will reportedly be kept in isolation for 2 weeks while being fed a restricted diet. They will not be allowed to exercise, nor will they be permitted to come into contact with any other person. For remaining in solitary confinement and abiding by these restrictions, participants will be given 3,500 pounds as payment, and Avivo will then be able to move on to the next steps of vaccine development. Trials. I have to attach something here so that I can see this. Similar trials have also begun in Seattle. Oh, gosh, are we surprised? It's really the New World Order, isn't it? Where healthy volunteers are being recruited to participate in research for a vaccine developed by a biotechnology company known as Moderna Therapeutics. Assuming Moderna finds its candidates in time, trials will begin by the end of April and are expected to take 14 months to complete. Volunteers will not need to be quarantined and will receive a paltry $1,100 as compensation for their services. Okay, this should be raising the hair on your arm, but let's just know that we must pray for discernment and watch over it. Lou, let's get to some of the statistics.
Yes. Our time is limited, so I'll just give you some of the highlights. Now, back on March the 5th, Mike Adams published an alert, and the title was Pandemic Projection Model Shows 2.16 Million Deaths. That's not just the cases of the disease, but 2.16 million deaths in the USA by July 4th, if nothing is done to halt nearly all domestic travel. Now, the Mike presents a carefully constructed...
And does he give the death rate? Is it 3.2? Is that what he said?
Well, I was looking for that.
I believe that it was. That's what he thought it would be, possibly.
I think you're right about that. He has a lot of statistics here. He shows how he arrives at the model, and I've double-checked this as a mathematician myself. I don't have all the background information, but he is basing on the idea that 1.82 people will be affected by each person who has the virus. It will spread in that way, and that would be an exponential curve, which basically just means it starts out slowly and goes up faster and faster and faster as time goes on.
And now their goal is to flatten that curve by having
people
stay at home for these 15 days, no group higher than 10 and so forth.
Yes. Now, Mike later published another article dated March 11th entitled Trump Just Changed the Trajectory of the Coronavirus Pandemic, Predicted Deaths, dropping it down from 1.1 million to 283,000. That's still a lot of people affected. Mike is basically saying that the things they put into place will have a good effect, but still a shocking effect. Now, are Mike's facts being borne out? Well, here we have an article dated, let me see now, March the 17th on St. Patrick's Day. He gives the dates from the 6th of March to the 17th of March, his projected deaths, compared with the actual deaths. Well, they're pretty close. In fact, the actual, a little bit ahead of his. So,
give us a sample there.
Sample, on the 6th day of March, he had projected 13. The actual were 17 deaths. Jumping to the middle, on March 11th, he projected 30. Actual were 32. March 14th, he projected 47. Actual were 54 deaths. And for March 17th, the last date that he has data here, he projected 71, but the actual were 93 deaths. So
that's very interesting.
A very accurate model.
Yes,
up to this
we'll
point.
Have to keep following that. And we do want to tell all of you that you should go visit our website, and that is DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com, and tell others to visit it. And you can look in our archives, and if we just have a general topic heading, like crucial news or vital news, you'll know that you're getting the most up-to-date, most truthful alternative news that we can provide for you. And you can write to us at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, if you would like to write to Lou Caverly, 21609. So may you all have a blessed week, and we think that you better err on the side of caution. Remember that Jesus Christ holds you in his arms if you are his, and you have your life cleaned up and you have repented. You can repent now for the first time and invite him into your heart. Good night. We'll be right back.